Well, good morning. Friday morning. Already a testimony of just a great time that I've been having, my family's been having. It's hard to believe that it's Friday already. It's been a wonderful time together with you and here at Horn Creek. And our deep and sincere thanks to the organizers and leadership of the conference and also the staff here at Horn Creek, if any of you are here. It's just been wonderful. You've been so welcoming to us, warm, kind, and considerate, and friendly, sharing your conference with us and sharing your lives with us as well. We're deeply thankful to the Lord for you and for this conference. Keith's encouraging introduction there earlier on about the brunch and this time together this morning reminded me of something that we talked about with the middle school group when we did devotions there together earlier on in the week, and somehow we got talking about luck, right? Kids that were there. And I mentioned that luck is actually mentioned in the Bible, and I said I would give them like one M&M to whoever could tell me where that's found. Haven't had any takers yet. Maybe the prize wasn't enticing enough, but luck is mentioned in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's the reference that I'm thinking of, and it's in the book of Acts. Did anyone get down to the book of Acts? I don't know. Acts chapter 20. You see it there in verse... we'll start verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And it's a bit hidden there, but that name Eutychus, translated into English, not just translated, transliterated as it is in our English Bibles, but it means from the Greek, lucky. His name's Lucky. And of course, he's lucky because Paul was the preacher that night. So don't fall asleep this morning. I was on my porch again this morning. Bit of a rush, so I just rushed over and I realized I forgot my name tag. But don't worry. Don't worry. If you don't know me or if you forget my name, you can always just employ the first person singular personal pronoun in the accusative case and just refer to me as me. If that's the name I call myself. Glad it's Friday. Let's turn together in God's Word to Mark's Gospel. The Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 4. We've come to the last part of this chapter. We're going to begin our reading at verse 35, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Let's ask for the Lord's blessing on the reading, preaching, and hearing of His holy word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we praise and thank you that you are the God who has spoken in the past in many ways to the prophets, in these last days in your Son. And as we come to this portion of your word, Lord God, we say along with the Greeks in the Gospel, sirs, we want to see Jesus. And that's our prayer this morning, Lord God, to you, our Father in heaven, that by your word and spirit and with the eyes of faith, that we would see Jesus, that we would see him in his glory, that we would see him in his grace, and that seeing him in your holy word, Lord God, that you would give us hearts that are drawn to him, that embrace him and receive him. And we pray, Lord God, that learning of Christ here in this part of your word would not only bring greater glory to you, our triune God and Savior, but that it would have a real transforming effect in our lives, that we would more and more faithfully and fully live lives worthy of the high calling of the gospel to which we've been called. That we would be that real light in a dark world. That men would see our good deeds, see the lives that we live, and be compelled to ask the reason for the hope that we have, and that we'd be ready to give our answer with gentleness and respect. And that men would come to glorify you, Lord God, as their own Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that you bless this time now around your open word again. As you have this week already, Lord, we're thankful for your kindness shown to us. We pray expectantly, not because of our own righteousness, but because you are merciful and because we bear your name. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. This is God's inerrant and infallible word. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Again, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, if you remember all the way back to our first time together here at the conference as we opened up Mark chapter 4 together, you remember the scenario there as Jesus began to teach these kingdom seed parables. The crowd that gathered, this is verse 1, was around him, was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. On this occasion, a boat was a pulpit for Jesus. And now we've come to the end of the chapter, and we are again brought into this, reminded of this scenario that involves Jesus being in the boat. And so this boat item here in Mark chapter 4 forms bookends to the chapter. It begins preaching the boat, and now this last section involves a boat as well. And there's almost a parable in the pulpit this day when Jesus was teaching from a boat. Because a boat, being in a boat or being on a voyage, throughout history has been a metaphor, has been a picture of life. Being on a voyage, sailing along. We sang to that effect from Psalm 107. The imagery that's there in that song as we are making our way to our final haven or harbor where we desire to be. But a boat is a very apt parable because life is often like being in a boat. There are times, boys and girls, when we want to be in a boat. It can be a lot of fun to be in a boat. My wife's brother has a cottage and he has a boat. And when we go there, he lets us use his boat. And I always look forward to that. I love being out on the water in a boat. You can go fishing or just sailing around. And when the water's calm, it's beautiful. It's so enjoyable to be in a boat. But it's not always nice to be in a boat. And we're going to see that here, aren't we, in Mark chapter 4 in the end. Because sometimes the experience, which can be so beautiful and peaceful and serene and calm and enjoyable in a boat, can be transformed so that being in a boat can be a terrifying experience. And there are horrible things that have happened to people as they've been going along in boats. And so here we have this note of Jesus, this historical account of Jesus being in a boat versus the pulpit. Now it continues as we come to the end of Mark chapter 4. And it's a picture to us of life in the kingdom. Remember, we've been talking about these kingdom parables. These aren't just theoretical ideas. This is real life. We live as citizens in the kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven. And we're not in heaven yet. But the principles of heaven, Jesus has brought in his first coming. But kingdom life in this world is a battle. And it can be very stormy. Jesus says, why are you so afraid? And we know that as Christians, there are many times that we can be afraid. Fears of all kinds fill our hearts and fill our lives. The Bible speaks of the fear of man. How often isn't that just the root of so much of our difficulty? The fear of man, which is a snare. The fear of the unknown. The fear of the future. The fear of death. All these sorts of things can grip us at one time or another, to one degree or another, and kingdom life can be very stormy and filled with fears. And so as we come into this last part of Mark chapter 4, we can see how what actually happened to the disciples that night is really a picture of what can happen to us in our lives as well. And I want to ask you, boys and girls, have you ever been afraid? Has there ever been a time that you've been afraid? You don't have to tell me when it was, but why don't you just put up your hand if you've been afraid? Don't be afraid to put up your hand. You know, because I think if we're honest, almost all of us could say, yeah, there was a time when I was afraid. I tried to think back to when I was your age and remember the time, several times, and I was very afraid. Remember early on in the week, we had some lightning storms here, thunderstorms. And you see the lightning flash and you hear the big crash of thunder. When I was growing up, I lived in a house that was on top of a hill. It was the highest point in the county where we lived, was where our house was. And when the storms came, the thunder and lightning storms came, they were all around us. Our house was hit by lightning numerous times. We had two or three television sets blown to pieces in a house. One occasion we had a lightning storm, and the lightning, you know, here you see the lightning, and then you hear the thunder, and you count to see how far the lightning is away. You've never done that. In some of those storms, you couldn't tell the difference between the flash of lightning and the sound of the thunder. They were right at the same time because it was right there on our house. Trees on our property got hit by lightning all the time. We'd go out, and trees would be just blown to pieces in our backyard. The next morning we were kind of happy because we didn't have to split the firewood and we could just pick it up. But it was scary. One morning we woke up and I went to touch the taps and I got a shock from the taps in our house. We later found out that lightning came right into our house in the basement and fused the electrical wires to our plumbing, the plumbing pipe, so that all of our plumbing was electrified in the house. I used to be scared. Like, but you know what? That's not the scared, the most scared I've ever been. The most scared I have ever been was when I was a teenager fishing with my cousin on Georgian Bay, part of the Great Lakes water system. We started out, it was fine, and then a big windstorm came. And we were out far from shore, and the waves started coming, and they were so high, and we were trying to row back into shore. We couldn't do it. We'd go down, and we couldn't even see any land anymore, and we'd go up. And I felt just so helpless, utterly helpless. I was terrified. I think that's the most scared I've ever been in my whole life. Well, if you remember back the times when you were afraid, what did you do when you were afraid? What did you do? You don't remember? Yeah. Maybe you don't even want to remember those times when you've been so afraid. Yeah. You hide, eh? I used to pull the covers over my head. Like that, the pillow over my head. Yeah. You pray to God. Great. Good answer. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know your name, sir. You take deep breaths. Be careful you don't hyperventilate. Yeah. Three things. 3-point sermon. Coming up.
Sometimes I hide behind my mom and dad.
Okay, hide behind mom and dad, number one. Number two. Great. Yeah, number three. You know karate. Mom and dad, prayer, karate. Okay. Well, there are lots of things you can do. I wish we had time to go through all of them, but those are great answers. You know, I would go to my mom and dad, jump in there, I go to say, well, I'm scared. Why don't you go to mom and dad, you pray, you can read the Bible. You know, God tells us some very specific things to do when we're afraid. And just two passages came to mind. The first is in Luke's Gospel, Luke 12, 4 and 5. Now, this particularly has to do when you're afraid of people and what people might say or might do. Listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So when we're afraid, the first thing that Jesus tells us is, don't be afraid of those things. Don't be afraid of those people. We need to fear God. First and foremost, we need to have him in reverence and awe as our creator because we're his creatures. We need to fear God and remember that God is God. In all of our fears, in this world and in this life, never forget that God is God, that he is almighty, that he is holy, that he's powerful. We need to fear him most of all. And then it's wonderful that Jesus goes on because if you were left with that, you'd think, well, is this the kind of Christian life that Jesus is one has had here, one of fear? Now, it's holy fear and reverence and awe. But he goes on to say, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God's power is mingled with his love for his people. And he's a God not only to be feared because he's God, but he's a God to be loved and trusted because he's our Father in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. So in Psalm 56 it says, when I am afraid, that is an easy verse to memorize. It tells the circumstance of when I am afraid. So anytime you're afraid, you can go to Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What does God tell us to do when we're afraid? Trust in God. Trust in him. Not trust in yourself. Not trusting your parents, ultimately. They can help and they can be a comfort. But our parents aren't God. And they can't help us in the greatest way we need to be helped. To be saved from our sin. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Why is trusting God the best thing that we can do? Because He's the one that can keep us safe. Right? And we need to have a big picture of that. Remember Daniel's three friends? O King, we know our God is able to save us, deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Because there's a danger greater than the fires even of that fiery furnace. There was a Christian long, long ago who was threatened to be burned at the stake because he was a Christian. That's a scary thing. But he said to the person who was persecuting, he said, you threaten me with a fire that burns for an hour. Hell is a fire that burns forever. To fear God. Trust God. Even if God, in God's providence, He should allow us to go through scary things and hard things and difficult things, He keeps us safe. He keeps our souls safe, even if our bodies are touched by hardships. And ultimately, He will keep us safe in all eternity, body and soul. God keeps us safe. Why else is trusting God the best thing we can do? Yeah, He loves us. He can do anything. We have to remember who God is. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. And when we remember who God is, He's the best one to trust. That's why the Bible says, don't put your trust in people. Don't put your trust in princes. Nor for help on man depend. Trust in God. And He will keep us safe. Alright, I want you to remember that. In the times when you feel afraid, for all different reasons. Remember Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Trust in You. Let's pray. Lord, again, we pray for our children. We know what it's like to be a child. We know the fears that can be in a child's life. But Lord, being afraid doesn't stop when you grow up. There can be lots of things that big people are afraid of too. And we all need to hear Your word. Lord God, when I am afraid, I will trust in You. Lord, give us hearts, give our children hearts that fear You above all else. And we pray that fear in You, they would not be afraid. As we pray for our children, we pray for ourselves. That we would not only teach them in word, but also in deed. That they would see adults around them, mums and dads, and aunts and uncles and grandparents, and friends in the church, who know how to fear God, who know how to put their trust in Him, so that we are not afraid. Lord, help us to live faithful, fearless lives as we follow Jesus in this world. We pray for Your blessing upon our children. For Jesus' sake and in His name. Amen.